Amen. I made it, Brother Calvin. Take your Bibles, Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians and chapter number 6. We continue in our series this morning, The Heart of a Child. And I'm so appreciative of your attendance and being here and in praying that God will use our time together to just be an encouragement. How many of you during the week work around a lot of people who are not Christians? Would you raise your hand? How many of you that would be the case? All right? And that's what I thought. And I want, as we gather together in His design and come early and get a cup of coffee and a donut and kind of just fellowship and, hey, how are you doing? And how are things going in your life? And what can I pray with you about this week? I hope that is an encouragement to you and maybe a differentiation of association from during the week and just having some people that genuinely care and are thinking about the things of the Lord. And then as we open the Word of God, I pray that these things are a help and a blessing to your life, to your relationships, to your home. That's certainly what we're asking God to do in our class and specifically through this series, The Heart of a Child. And as the Lord blesses our home with children, or maybe in preparation for that someday, we want to have the heart of our children and that we would cultivate in their heart a heart for God. And that's really what we're striving to accomplish. We've spent a couple of weeks laying the foundation of what does it mean to have the heart of your child? What is the goals of biblical training and formative instruction? And now we turn a corner and we begin to get into some practical application. Today we're going to talk about the sowing and reaping principle. Next week we're going to talk about biblical authority and begin to kind of apply how to cultivate a heart for God in the hearts of our children into our everyday lives. And so to look at this, let's look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Galatians in chapter number 6 and verse number 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let's read chapter 6, verse 7 together. Ready? Begin. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A woman was asked if she had to do it all over again if she would have children. And she paused and she said, yes, I think I would, but not the same ones. And, you know, sometimes in parenting, you're thankful that you're parents. But there are days of challenge where you're not quite sure all that the Lord had intended when He blessed your life and home with your children. And as we strive to form an environment, an atmosphere in our homes where our children are learning the principles of the Word of God, they're developing a heart for God, one of the key principles that we have the privilege and the responsibility to teach is the sowing and reaping principle. And we have to be careful that we communicate and instruct in the lives and in the hearts of our children that all of the blessings are from the Spirit of the Lord. We know that our Father, all the good gifts come from Him. But then also that the consequences of disobedience and living in contradicting what God would have us to do, all that comes with that is the result of God's law and way as well. It all comes back to God's original intent. And in the Bible, as the principle of sowing and reaping is taught, another metaphor that's often used is the harvest. And Christ in His teaching often talked about as the seed is placed in the ground, whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. What you put into the ground is eventually going to come up. And this is a principle that our children need to learn. You do not have control over what you reap, but you do have control over what you sow. So I can't determine today what I'm going to reap. I don't know what I'm going to reap today. Some things reap right away. Some things take a long time. That's in the Lord's time. I don't know what I'm going to reap today. But what I do know is I can control what I sow. I can control the seeds that I put in the ground. I can control the investments that I make with my life, with my energy, with my time today. And that's a principle that we want to be sure to teach our children. Sometimes as we're teaching our children these things and the fact that they're going to reap from all of their thoughts, their behavior, their attitudes, their actions. Sometimes as our children learn that, they are praying for a crop failure. And by the way, we've all lived seasons where we're praying for crop failure. And can I tell you something? We can't control the fact that when the seed's in the ground, it's going to come up. But here's what I want to challenge, because our class has a lot of new Christians in it, which is exciting. But this morning, as you sit here, if you feel like, Brother Rule, I've got a lot of seeds in the ground, quite frankly, that I'm not proud of the reaping coming up. And there's going to be some harvest from some seeds that I've sown that as it comes up, I don't really want my kids to see it. This is something my dad taught me when I was a little boy. He said, there may be some harvest in your field you don't want anybody to see that you can't do anything about. But here's what you can do. You can plant a lot of good seed around it and ask God to grow it up. You may have some seed in your life you're not proud of. And because of the inevitable facts of God's word, it's going to reap a harvest. But what you can decide today is, Lord, you helping me, help me to plant a lot of good seed. And help me to plant so much good seed in the field of my life that as it begins to reap a harvest and as my family begins to see my life, that the weeds, if you will, within the midst of the field are now so very difficult to see because there's a lot of harvest there that brings honor and glory to the Lord. And may you and I be motivated. Hey, there's been some time, some days, some months, some years where I've lived away from the Lord. I've lived in a life that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. I did some things that were not honoring to the Lord, but God loved me anyway. And by His grace, I know Him. And now I'm in church and my family is learning the Word of God. And so, Lord, help me, motivate me, inspire me to sow all the good seed that I can so that good harvest will come up. And that's a principle we want to live and then we want to teach to our children. 1 Samuel 2:30 provides a case study in biblical sowing and reaping. It says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me ever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now our culture sometimes looks at the whole sowing and reaping principle kind of like the Santa Claus song. You know, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. And the idea is do good because you're going to get something for it. Do good when people are watching. Do good when there's something in it for you. Do good when there's a kickback that's going to be of benefit to you. And if we're not careful, that's the culture, the atmosphere, the environment that our children are raised in. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God's motivation for children being obedient and being honoring to their father and mother is for the simple fact that it is right. Now, He does say that they'll be blessed. He does say that their years will be long, and there is some blessing for obedience, but God's primary motivation for being obedient and being honorable is not all the blessings you're going to get. God's primary motivation is because it's right. And we need to teach our children, we do right because it is right. We don't just do right because it is seen. We don't just do right because of the incentives that we might get. We have a culture of parenting that is based on behaviorism. I don't like the way you're behaving. So if I offer this, will you change your behavior? Yes. Okay. Then we enter in that agreement, in that period. And then when that incentive has worn off, now we have to up the ante. Okay, I no longer like your behavior, so how about I give you this in addition to what I gave you before? Okay, we got an agreement. It'll last for a while. And then the behavior continues to decline, and all of a sudden our incentive is no longer enough because it's worn off, and so now we have to add something else. And we have a lot of parents in all of these negotiations with their kids just trying to change your behavior. And God says there is a pattern and a way far superior than just focusing on the behavior. We, as a representative of God's authority in our homes, want to focus on the heart of our children and teach them the principle of sowing and reaping. Quickly, by introduction, before we jump in the outline, two types of consequences when we sow. First of all, are the natural consequences. These are consequences that happen whether or not anybody interferes. If you get angry and you kick a wall, your toe hurts. That's a natural consequence. That's just what happens for what it is you do. Now, there's a lot of things in life that should have a natural consequence, but that sometimes we intervene and we eliminate or we buffer the natural consequence. You know, it's like the child in our home that maybe we're trying to discipline to be responsible and remember things, and they forget their lunch at school for the umpteenth time, and we continue to run to McDonald's and get the Happy Meal and take it to them. And so instead of learning to go a day without a meal to remember their lunch, they know that when I forget my lunch, I get a Happy Meal. And we continue to kind of intervene in the area of natural consequence for their actions, and it's diluting a bit this principle of sowing and reaping. I'm not advocating that your kids should starve. I'm not advocating that your children should suffer, but we may differ on our definition of starving and suffering. Because I think that a child should learn to be responsible. And I think that a child should learn when they're not responsible, there's consequences, and that's okay. Daddy is not here to buffer all your consequences for your irresponsibility, because I do not plan to support you for the rest of your life. I plan to have you for a season of time in which God has given you to me. I plan to pour my life into you and to train you so that you can go serve God with your life and be responsible and independent in the areas in which you need to do it. And I believe that's what God challenges and teaches us to do. But then there are consequences, secondly, shaped by authorities. This is where an authority determines the outcome that is called for to enforce something. And we see this often in the scripture. And we do not have the authority by God to determine whether or not consequences should be there. We have the authority by God to insist that they are there and to carry them out. We were reading the proverb last night in our family devotion from Word of the Wise, and it was talking about the benefit of reproof and the loving father and chasteneth his child betimes, etc. And so we're sitting around the dining room table and we're teaching our children, listen, when loving correction is given to you from your mother or your father, that is a sign of love. If my children are disobedient, it's my responsibility to correct. If my children are disobedient and I do not correct, then I am disobedient. Now I'm disobedient to God because that is what God has commanded me to do. And that's the principle we were just teaching last night. And that is a consequence that should be there. And we're not there to establish our rights. We're not there to establish the fact that we are superior to them in some way, although some of that will happen as a byproduct of the authentic goal, but we are simply there to teach them this is right, this is wrong, and when wrong happens, there is consequences for it. That is our job. So sowing and reaping in our home and in the hearts of our children. This morning, I want us to look at six inevitable consequences of all of our thoughts and all of our actions that are taught from the Word of God. Number one, we reap in relationship with God. We reap in relationship with God. We read in verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Sin can harden our hearts. So if we're trying to minister to the heart of our children, then we need to make sure they understand, listen, Junior, listen, Sally, everything you do, everything you're involved in, you're going to reap the consequences in your relationship with God. God is not mocked, and sin can separate us from God. For the wages of sin is death. We know that, but in Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and what? And come short of the glory of God. It is our sin that separates us from God, and thankful that Jesus Christ in His love came and gave His life and died on the cross and paid for our sins so that we can know Christ is our Savior and heaven is our home. But even as a believer, our sin separates us from God. And if you work with your hands a lot, maybe doing manual labor, you're going to get calluses. And those calluses help protect your hands for the work in which you're doing. You never want calluses to develop on the heart because of sin, because it intervenes and it interrupts the relationship that God wants us to have. And so we reap in relationship with God. Our children need to know from us that what they do directly affects the relationship with God. What is the purpose of our formative instruction and biblical training in their life? To prepare them for a relationship with God. So at the foundation of that is their understanding what they do is affecting their relationship with God. In other words, it's not terrible that they stole because we caught them. Now, it's terrible that they did that, and it's good that we caught them. But they need to understand in their heart what's terrible about that is they stole before God. I have the privilege of working with a lot of couples, a lot of family ministry. And I have the privilege of working with some families who are going through some very difficult times. And maybe there's some immorality. Maybe there's some difficulty. Maybe there's some whatever. And one of the first things you're trying to accomplish in that situation is getting to a place of biblical sorrow, biblical repentance, biblical remorse. Why? Because what I've learned in family ministry is if somebody doesn't feel like they've wronged God, they're probably not going to be motivated to put it back together the way it needs to be put back together. People need to see their actions as being against God. I have wronged God. I have hurt God. I have shamed the name of God. God loved me. He gave His Son for me, and I've done this to Him. Oh God, please forgive me. Biblical repentance is so needed and restoration, and our children from their youth need to understand, listen, everything you say and do, you're going to reap in your relationship with God. All of it is going to affect your relationship with God. And we want them to have a heart for God, to have a close relationship with Him. Secondly, we reap in habits for life. We reap in habits for life. Habits of thought and practice and actions in the childhood will prove to almost be immovable in adult life. Sometimes in parenting, we see some things in our children and we kind of feel like, you know what, I don't like it, but it's not that big of a deal and they're probably going to grow out of it. And I think we oftentimes miss an opportunity to train, to instruct, and to help because we assume that this is something that will change by nature and it doesn't. Rather, it is sowing a habit for the rest of their life that is going to give them momentum in an area that's going to ding their shaping or their character. It's an inevitable fact. We're going to reap in habits for life. Now, how does this work? Well, it might be the child who throws a tension tantrum every time, you know, somebody takes their toy or somebody doesn't give them what it is that they want, that down the road, if they're not being treated the way that they want to be treated at school or at work or whatever, they always have a problem with everybody. You know what I learned a long time ago? If Bob has a problem with everybody, there's probably a problem with Bob. And I've met people that way. It doesn't matter who they're with or what environment they're in, they've got a problem. And you come to find out there's just something in here. Life isn't fair. Not everybody is kind. Not everybody's living for the Lord. And that's going to happen in our children's lives, and it's going to happen when they grow older as well. And we want to help them to understand the reaping and sowing principle. Why? Because they are sowing habits for life. When our children are young and there's some horsing around in the house and you know, one of mama's pretties gets broken and there's deceit, to hide, to cover it up, to fix, to, you know, whatever we can do. If we're not using it as a teaching opportunity, that's the same child 10 years later in high school who's forging signatures and doing what needs to be done to get through school without mom and dad knowing what's going on. Why? Because we're reaping habits for life. Formative things are happening in every stage of life that we need to recognize. They need to know the sowing and reaping principle. Is this who they want to be for their whole life? No. Then they need to change the way they think and the way in which they behave, and because of its relation to the Lord. We see in Ezekiel chapter 36, and I put these notes in, or these verses in your notes. It says in verse 25, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." And that's what we want. Lord, put your spirit in me. Help me to do what you would have me to do. We reap in habits for life. Thirdly, we reap in reputation. We reap in reputation. Now, our reputation is the sum of the impressions that others have about us. That's our reputation. It is what we are known by. It is defined by what others maybe see in us, in our thoughts and interactions through the circumstances of life. And I believe that our children want to be recognized as good people that are honorable, that are trustworthy and hardworking and obedient and so forth. But they often do not understand or recognize the inevitable consequences of their attitudes and behavior as it's affecting their reputation. Our children need to be taught, listen, the way you're living is you're making a name for yourself. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Son, daughter, you're doing these things. You're making a name for yourself. You are reaping a reputation. You're always late. Your homework is never done on time. You're forgetting everything. your room is always dirty. You're not respectful. I don't know. Whatever behavioral issue there may be, as moms and dads, we need to look and say to our children, listen, you are reaping a reputation that you're going to carry for the rest of your life. We need to help you instruct and train in this area. The Bible says in Proverbs 5, "And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." Why? How did I get there? By not obeying the voice that God had given. We're reaping a reputation. Matthew 5 talks about we're the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth. And it's a description of the reputation that we are to have. God says, I want you to have the kind of reputation that is preserving good in society and is shining a light that is bright to the honor and glory of the Lord. So children need to ask themselves, is my life pleasing to the Lord? Is my life preserving good? Is my life shining a light on the things of God? Am I using every opportunity to do something for the Lord? Why? We reap in reputation. And our children need to understand, everything they say, everything they do, they are reaping in reputation. Sometimes as parents, we can have a very protective demeanor. And I just can't believe people would think of my children that way. And honestly, sometimes if we step back objectively, we can see, well, you know what? They did this, they did this, they did this. I guess I see why people think of them this way. And instead of being angry with all the people and how they think, I need to teach Junior that he has a reputation he's earned, because he's reaping a reputation from his actions. And that if we spent less time getting mad at all the people and what they think, and more time focusing on our life and our actions and cleaning them up and make them honorable before the Lord, it may not change everybody's mind. If you're going to do something great for God, you're going to have critics, and that's for sure. But you want to make sure that it is understood, I am sowing and I'm going to reap my reputation. Number four, we reap in human relationships. We reap in human relationships. Our behavior has great implications on all of our human relationships. Children sometimes will exhibit attitudes and behaviors towards people, not really even considering the influence that it has on those relationships. They want relationships to sustain, irregardless of sinful behavior or actions. For a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. Sometimes children can be unfriendly and then wonder, why don't I have any friends? Man, mom and dad, everybody at school is a jerk. Nobody in class likes me. I just hate it there. And I mean, just the world is against them. And it's a good thing they have you. And they need the foxhole, you know. And come to find out, Junior or Sally, They're as mean as a rattlesnake. Well, no wonder they don't have any friends. They're reaping in all their human relationships. Be a kind one to another, and honor preferring one another, forgiving one another. These are the things that God teaches us in relationships, to be friendly, to be kind, to prefer, to forgive. And these are things we want to teach our children. Why? Because you're going to reap in your human relationships. The way you act, the way you relate with people, you're going to reap that. And somebody might be having a bad day, and if you want to, you could throw them under the bus, or you could be kind, because someday you might have a bad day and you want someone to be kind to you. So if somebody says something mean on the playground, you could get mean back or tell the teacher, or you could just say, hey, that's okay, I'm sorry you're having a bad day today, and try to be a good friend, because that could be you someday, and we want to teach them those principles. You're going to reap in your human relationships. And a lot of adults struggle with this. A lot of us struggle with this. Sometimes we have difficulty relating, and we don't see all the connections that there may be, and we want to work at Lord helping us in our relationships. We reap in human relationships. The Bible says, if live peaceably with all men, we should live peaceably one with another. There may be some unbelievers that's a challenge. But in a class like this, with people that love the Lord, and that meet together to strengthen their relationships and homes, we should live peaceably one with another. I'm not aware of any strife with anyone in this room, but I want to certainly say there should not be. And if there were, I need to be able to go to Brother James and say, Brother James, I feel like there's something between us and I want to get right. Because we're brothers in Christ. There shouldn't be anything between us. How can we go out and tell people about Jesus if we're at odds once again one with the other? We reap in our human relationships. We need to model that and teach that to our children. Number five, we reap in long-term usefulness in Christ's kingdom. We reap in long-term usefulness in Christ's kingdom. Can I ask you a question this morning? How many of you would say, Brother Rule, I have a regret in my life that I think hinders me from doing everything God wanted? How many would just say that? I have a regret in my life that I feel like hinders me a little bit. I think most of us do. I think most of us look at our life and say, man, you think about the prodigal son, unwise decision, taking his inheritance, running it off, spending it the way he did, wasting some of those things. And we know that he came back and that his father welcomed him, a feast was thrown, a restoration was made, and as far as we know, he lived in that environment then fine the rest of the way. But consider that inheritance. It was gone. It was spent up in riotous living, the Bible says, and it certainly was not used to God's honor and glory. Think about the time it took to spend up that inheritance. It was gone. He was never going to get that time back. And so while his relationship was restored with his father, as ours has been with our Heavenly Father, and while he served his father, and as we get to serve our Heavenly Father, there was still an inevitable consequence of the inheritance was gone. The time he used to spend it up was gone. He was never going to get that inheritance back. He was never going to get that time back. That is a fact of life. And all of us, I suppose, look at time, opportunities, and things in our past and say, I wish I could have those back. I would have chosen to use them differently for the Lord, but I've got to press on and use what I have today for the Lord. But I have the chance to mold the hearts of my children. And I want to teach my kids from their youth, hey, everything you do is reaping long-term usefulness for the Lord. You don't want to look back and have a season of time you regret. You don't want to look back and have a season of time that you were away from the Lord. You don't want to look back and say, boy, why was I doing that? If we can cultivate your heart right now to live for God from your youth, you can prevent that regret in your life that many of us have. We want to reap in long-term usefulness for Christ's kingdom and make sure they understand the view of that. And then lastly, number six, we reap for eternity. We reap for eternity. Unbelievers that are blinded by the deceiver think that all is well and they're living for the here and now. We know that. But you know what? Sometimes if we're not careful, we get caught up in the here and now. And I just want to challenge all of us as we close, we reap for eternity. What did we do in the last 6 days that will last for eternity? What are we instilling in the hearts and lives of our children that will last for an eternity? Are they serving the Lord? Are they talking to other people about God? Are they thinking about the things of the Lord? Are they learning about God and His Word through your family devotions and some of the things we've talked about in the last couple of weeks? We want to make sure that our homes are environments that are helping us to see we reap for an eternity. The Bible paints for us the picture that one day we'll stand before the Lord. We hope to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And at the conclusion of that, we hope to have some crowns that we can lay at the feet of Jesus Christ. And how do we earn those crowns? God teaches in His Word some areas in which we can be faithful. And we want to recognize my life is going to reap for an eternity. Lord, help me to be faithful and help me to instruct in the hearts of our children what they do now is going to matter for the rest of their life and beyond. So may we teach them truth from the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we sure love You. Thank You for some time together in Your Word this morning. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand the sowing and reaping principle. The fact that everything we do affects the future of our life. And may we model that for our children. May we instruct that in our children. And may we give them a heart for You in which they see all of my thoughts, all of my behavior, all of my actions are reaping consequences. Lord, give us the wisdom to teach them to understand my life 10 years from now will very much be constructed of the behavior, thoughts, and actions of today. And so help me to invest and sow wisely that what I reap is pleasing to the Lord. Lord, help us to catch that and to pass it on to our children. Bless all that are here and give them a wonderful week, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.